But if you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. I advertised this morning the message would be called A Lot or Lots to be Learned from Lot. Lots to be learned from Lot. And I want to just get right into the message here, and let's look at our text. Genesis chapter number 12, Genesis chapter number 12. We have two basic characters here, and of course, one is Abraham. He is called the friend of God. He is the grandfather of the Jewish race, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and he has a nephew named Lot. What's his name? Lot. No, the uncle. His name is Abraham. What's his nephew's name? Lot. All right, here we go. So Genesis 12, verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son. Then skip down to chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks. And so we're going to speak on this subject tonight, these two characters and how they differed. Our theme for the year is building and rebuilding. So we're talking here about building a strong relationship with God, building a strong relationship with God's people, and building a strong relationship with the right type of people. And so that's the building here. So I hope you'll look at your Bible. Don't just stare up here if you have one, because we will look at several passages tonight. Heavenly Father, we're asking your help now as we try to rightly divide the word of truth. This was written 4,000 years ago, and it's still true today. It's helpful for us. You said the word of God is applicable. It's practical. You said it's for our profit. And we claim that tonight. So help us have hungry hearts and thirsty souls. And help us have in our hearts tender soil. The seed is good, and the sower, the Holy Spirit, is good. But if our soil is bad, then nothing's going to happen tonight. So please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we go. We see the contrast between this great Christian, Abraham, and Lot. Abraham, throughout scriptures, we're not going to look at all of it, he constantly built altars. And it's interesting, they could never build an altar out of hewn or squared stone. You say, how come? Because God never wanted them to say, what a beautiful altar. Wow, who built this? No, it had to just be natural stones piled up. Why? Because all the glory went to the Lord. And the altars were always a place where God met with the person. So in Abraham's life, you see God call him, he builds an altar. He gets ready to do something, he builds an altar. He's got altars all over the country. So Abraham had altars, he loved God. Lot had no altars. He loved things. You never see one altar that Lot ever built. Abraham knew where his blessings came from. They came from God. Lot was blessed because he hung around Abraham that was blessed. Do you get it? Secondhand blessing. Abraham was blessed, so some blessings fell on Lot. Lot was not blessed because of his life. He was blessed because of others. Sometimes a family member can be blessed because the mom or dad is blessed, or because the husband's blessed, or the wife is blessed. But here, we see that was not the case. Abraham called a friend of God. Lot is simply called Abraham's nephew. We see here these issues that are coming up in their life. We could call this how to go from the top to the bottom. Sometimes we hear this statement, so-and-so, oh, I can't believe it, they fell into sin. No one ever falls into sin. We only see them when they land. They've been falling a long, long, long time. I heard about a little boy. He was looking at the stars with his mom one night. and he saw a fallen star, or we'd call it a shooting star. And he goes, "Mama, Mama, all the stars are falling, look." She said, "Son, all the stars are not falling. Look, there's millions in their place right now." So we see Lot, he falls in these chapters. But not everyone did. Abraham didn't. Isaac didn't. And others along the way. So want to look at this here. Now the chapter develops. Look at this, please. In chapter number 13, here we go. How did Lot end up getting where he ended up? We see in chapter 13 in verse number 5, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." We're about to get there. Now, there's two locations mentioned in the story. Here's Abraham and Lot. They've come out of Ur of the Chaldees. They're in this land. But there is a city that's going to be described in a moment. And it's the city, twin cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. They're at the bottom of the Dead Sea. It's interesting. God destroyed these two cities. Lot ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Many of you know the story. He ends up in Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice the name Sodom, short for sodomite. That's the Bible word for homosexual, and we'll deal with that on a Wednesday night. The sodomites were told to get out of the land. There were no sodomites allowed in Israel. It was not flaunted. It was not paraded. They were asked to leave. You could not practice that sin. And so there was this city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Only one city did God burn up from the sky with fire and brimstone. Guess the name of it, Sodom and Gomorrah, the only one. And all that salt there is because Lot and his family never was the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. They moved to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they didn't preserve anything. They never won a soul. They never took a stand for Christ. They never made a difference in that city. And so that's why the sea is called the Dead Sea or the Salt Sea. Kind of interesting. She ends up turning into a pillar of salt. You remember the whole thing? Martin's salt factory started right there. That's what I heard. Anyway, so this is going on. Here's all this wickedness going on here while Abraham and Lot are living over here being blessed. They're being blessed because Abraham's a friend of God. He loves God. He builds altars. It's a happy family. So notice what happens, however. We see in verse 5, it says, verse 7, "And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. The Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee." Now, we know how the story ends up. Lot ends up in the city of Sodom. But that did not happen overnight. And I'm going to say this. No one ever wrecks their life overnight. No marriage ever ends overnight. No Christian who's totally involved in God's work ends up a backslider overnight. There is a process. There is some steps that lead to that. And someone said, if you don't want to reach the destination, don't ever get on that road. If you don't want to reach the city of drunkenness, don't ever take the first drink. Get off the road of drinking. If you don't want to end up having a perverted mind and a burnt conscience or defiled conscience, don't get on the road of pornography. If you don't want to end up on the in the city of deceitfulness, don't be telling the, quote, little half-truths and half-lies. A road always leads to the city. It's always a road. So I want to give you four road signs tonight that Lot neglected, and he did not heed the warning before his life was wrecked. Here it is. Road sign number one. Here it is. Number one. And here's the first, strife. It said there was strife between him and his uncle. That's where it started. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contentions. There was an argument. There was a disagreement. There was strife. They didn't get along. They didn't see things eye to eye. That's where it started. There was a disagreement, but pride stopped it from being settled. Scripture puts it this way. agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way. Why? Because if we don't settle it quickly, it builds, it builds, it builds. What are we talking about? Strife between a husband and a wife. Is two, is not, is two, is not. I disagree. I'm going to lock the door. You sleep on yours. You sleep on the couch tonight. Strife. Strife between a teacher and a student. A student and a teacher. Well, she's got favorites and he's got favorites. And they're always picking on me. And it's always my fault. I always get blamed for everything. Strife. That's unsettled. When do people move to Sodom? When there's strife and they do not settle the strife. Strife between Christians and a church. Well, they want, they did me wrong and I'll never speak to them again. And now they're sitting in the same church and they can't face each other. They can't shake each other's hands. Well, your kid said this about my kid and now the kids don't get along. Get this. It wasn't Abraham and Lot that didn't get along. Their herdsmen didn't. Abraham was okay with Lot. Lot was okay with Abraham, but their herdsmen, those under them, didn't get along and that made the rift between them. Parents, be careful when your kid doesn't get along with another kid. Pretty soon, you're not going to get along with their parents. Be careful about that. Strife. Sometimes it's strife between the people and the pastor. Well, he picked my son out of the crowd. And he embarrassed my child. And he called him out. You know, it ought to be like this. When the pastor says, hey, look up here, you teenagers, you ought to be the parent that comes up after church and says, Pastor, was that my kid? I just want to know, was that my kid? We'll handle it. If it was my kid, just tell me. Well, man, we want them to turn out. See, that's what you want to do. You want to overcome that thing of strife. So let me ask you a question. Who is it that you're angry with? Who is it that it's been a long haul you're upset with someone? Who is it there's a friction between you and them? And you never settled it yet. First step to Sodom. Years ago, we had a teen in the teen group when I was in Louisiana. And God had started working on his heart. And I could tell. I mean, he was glowing during the services. He was eating it up, had that Bible at the altar. God was dealing with that young man. He wrote me a little note. He said, I think God's calling me to preach. You know who knows that's going on? Pastor always sees it before anybody else. Maybe the parents do, but the pastor spots it. He's never shocked. He can see it in the life. I remember saying, God's going to use that boy. He's going to use him. Well, about that time, I planned to honor the athlete day at our church in Louisiana where the Civil War was still going on. If you know much about the Civil War, you know a lot about civil rights. Well, that was still going on. You got your side of town. We got our side of town. We got our churches. You got your churches. I announced to the church. I said, hey, guess who the athletes are? They're not always this shade of skin. And they're all coming. We're honoring them. We're going to get them saved this Sunday. Every shade of skin. I told them. And that Sunday, when they started coming into our team building, one of the Sunday school teachers, that boy's daddy, come here, son, get in the car. Come here, wife, get in the car. Come here, other son, get in the car. We're out of here. Got in his car, and with all the fruit of the spirits peeled out of the parking lot, showing all of his spirituality. By the way, leaving all his spirituality on the parking lot because they didn't have any to start off with. That boy died an early death. His brother ended his life. I knew when it started. It started that Sunday morning. I was going to mail the note back to him. Hey, this is a note your son just wrote this month. Do you want to know? Started with strife. Be careful when your feelings get hurt. Be careful when you get angry. Well, my kids never got D's before, and now they got D's. We put them in a Christian school, pay all this money, they get D's. I'm upset. Hey, we're upset too. We've sunk a lot of... Now watch, everybody got D's this semester. Who knows, now I'm in big trouble, huh? Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. They're always picking on our family. They're always picking on my kids. They're always picking on me. They always leave me out. Everyone got a phone call. I didn't get it. Be careful. You need to get over that quickly. Spiritual people make big things little. That's no big deal. We're fine. Immature people make little things big. You'll never know how hurt our family was. We didn't have our name spelled right in the bulletin. Moving right along. We misspelled hemorrhoid surgery. I'm sorry. Oh, Pastor, how crude you are. Number one, say it right there, strife. Number one, strife. Second road sign, look down here, please, in chapter 11. So here's Lot. Lot should have talked to his workers and said, hey, calm down. That's Uncle Abraham. We're not giving him a hard time. He raised me. That's not what he did. Look at this. And I want to just say this, too. Be careful when you go into business with church members. Be careful buying anything from a church member. Well, the car wasn't about to blow up before I sold it to you. It blew up on the way out of the parking lot. And you wouldn't give me my money back. Now you bought a brand new. Be careful. I'm not against it. I'm okay with people working for each other, trading off work. Be careful, though. Be careful. And then we see, second here, we see the second road sign, just a second, looking down into verse number 11. Well, verse number 10, and Lot lift up his eyes, notice how he lived, by sight, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Road sign number two. It's coming up right here. Separation. 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 What do you mean? He separated from the only strong person in his life. He separated from a spiritual leader, Abraham. He separated from the one who had the blessings of God. He separated from his authority figure, his uncle. Now there's no one to lead him. There's no one to guide him. He's separated. People always do. People who end up in Sodom and Gomorrah in their spiritual life, they separate first. What do? They separate from God's word. It's less and less church. Well, someone contacted me the other day. I've seen them one time in a year. Sorry I missed last Sunday, Pastor. I'm so kind when I text. I'm so kind compared to what I could be. It's like, I felt like saying, where you been all year? What do you mean you missed last week? And I see the potential. They could be teaching. They could be in the choir. They could be winning something. They could be doing so much. But in their mind, they're still in. They're still here. It's like Larry Cribbs. I'm not going to mention his name. After an Easter service, he's in heaven now. He knows better now. But after an Easter service, he was so moved with Easter. He said, Pastor, I've made a promise to God today. I'm going to be faithful in church from now on. I'm going to be in church every Christmas and every Easter. I'm not going to miss. I thought he was joking. He was serious. He thought that was a big decision. Separation. Separation from godly people. Separation from the house of God. Separation from the word of God. Separation from ministries. Soon they just start snipping and snipping and snipping, and they miss the service, and then they miss soul winning. And a pastor, there's so many workers. We need to give my ministry over to someone else. Give someone else a chance to serve. They're not standing in line to work for the Lord anymore. But soon it's separation, separation. And then it's excuses. Can't come soul winning, can't come soul winning, can't come soul. I'm busy and got all these things. Pretty soon they see a big sign. Welcome to Sodom. You finally arrived. Separation. If you've been saved long, you've seen it. We used to be so close and somehow they just kind of backed out. We're not close anymore. They never call. We never see them at church. They don't want to be in ministry. They don't want to come to a Sunday school class. They don't want to do this. They don't want to help here. They don't want to do this. Separation. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you're going to bear fruit, you cannot be separated from him. You say, Pastor, what's so important? Your direction is the most important thing. It's not the distance. It's the direction. The Bible says in that verse that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. What direction is your family facing? The world? Partway toward the world? Or sold out to God? It's direction. Direction. People start changing direction. That's why someone can be as wicked as they can be, backslidden as they can be. They get right with the Lord. They change directions. God starts blessing them right there. We see first, there was strife. We see second, there was separation. Then we see third, there was selfishness. Selfishness. Look what it says in verse 11. Then Lot chose him. Well, look up in verse 9. Abraham says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If you'll take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Uncle Abraham says, look, there's strife. He says, look, here's the land. Take what you want to, son. The nephew that he raised, the nephew that he paid money to put food in his mouth, the nephew he kept safe, the nephew he trained, the nephew he prayed for, that nephew who he had invested in. Hey, take what you want. Lot says, I sure will. I'm going to take the best land. He was selfish. It was strife. Then it was separation. Now his life is becoming more openly wicked. It is selfishness. You ever hear this from someone? Well, I need to leave my husband or wife. It would be a sin for me to stay in a marriage if I'm not in love anymore. I love them, but I'm not in love. You ever hear that nonsense? You know, you can love someone you're not in love with. Love is an action, it's not a feeling. The Bible commands us, love your enemies. You may not feel like it, but you can meet their needs. You can pray for them. That's how you love people. You're meeting their need. John Rice was in his car one day. He was in his aged years. His wife looked at him and said, John R., why do you love me? And he said, because God told me to. She said, that don't turn me on. He said, well, that don't turn me off. There's going to be times where you do right if you feel like it, if you don't feel like it. Selfishness. Lot says, okay, I'll choose first. Here's what I want. Well, think of the kids. No, I've got to think of me. I've got to think of my future. No, think of the kids. I've had people sit in the office and they've said, well, it'd just be a shame to stay married because of the kids. No, that's a pretty good reason. My mom stayed with my dad, and I'm glad I had a dad. Things worked out later. He wasn't perfect. She wasn't perfect either, but she stuck it out. She didn't think of number one. You know, I wonder how it's going to be up in heaven when God says, here's what you could have done, but you chose to do what you wanted to do. Here's Lot. Lot could have been the next Abraham. So it was selfishness. It's interesting. In chapter 13, verse 11, and later on, oh, notice here in chapter 14, verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. So it wasn't long before, the Bible says, now time passed. Now guess who's living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot was. Maybe his wife said, hey, honey, there's a garage sale in Sodom today. We would never move there. It's so wicked. But they do have some good deals. Maybe they went to a garage sale that day. And she said, honey, did you see that apartment for rent? It's on the edge of town. It's not in the bad part of town. I'm sure there's a church somewhere. You know, I hear that all the time. Pastor, we're moving to another state. Is there a good church there? I'm sure we'll find one somewhere. And it's been 10 years and they're still looking for that church.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You don't tack God on. You don't just add him in at the end. It's God's will and God first, and then you figure that thing out. It ought to take a whole lot of God's leading before anyone ever leaves our state and says, we're all tired of the governor. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the wickedness, tired of the crime. But someone's got to Rome was pretty wicked. There was a lot of cities in Paul's day. They killed preachers. They persecuted Christians. Nero burned them at the stake. That was pretty wicked. And those Christians tried to reach those cities. Someone's got to reach these cities for Christ. By the way, Brother Shantigian is going full-time ministry starting in 2 weeks. The church you helped start in Oakland, where we couldn't get a pastor because there was bullet holes and machine gun holes in houses, and no pastor would move there with his kids because of all the crime. Shantigian has stuck it out 16 years. Their offerings are up. He's quitting his job. Well, he's quitting most of his job, and he's going to be full-time pastoring now. Amen. Thank God for that. So we see there was selfishness. Lot has now moved into the city. Now we see sinfulness. Look over here. We have to wind this thing down. 14:12. 14:12. So notice these steps. All these steps. And now we see sinfulness. Here it is. The last road sign. He's finally in Sodom and Gomorrah. And a war takes place. He's rescued by Abraham. He pitched. Then he had to be rescued. Notice what it said in verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods. Hey, look at that. He got the stuff. He got the stuff. Lot, I want the well-watered plains. All right, you're finally living there now. The city's called Sodomy because so many of the men are Sodomites. They're wicked. God's going to burn the city up. But you got the stuff, Lot. You got the stuff. You got a lot of things. Hey, you win. Win what? I saw a bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys wins. And then it said ... wins what? Abraham had to rescue him. Lot should have been rescuing others. Now, folks, the importance of becoming a mature Christian and being faithful is this. When you're faithful and strong, you get to rescue others. When you're weak and immature and never grow, you're the one that always has to be rescued. See, we need to be the ones that are constantly saying, I missed you Sunday. How you doing? Man, hope you're doing okay. We missed you in your place. We missed you. Hey, come on back. Amen. You ought not have to get those texts and those phone calls yourself. So we see in 14:12, and then let's look down in 19:1. 19:1, a little time passes. Chapter 18, God meets with Abraham and tells him, I'm blowing up the city. I'm burning it up. Isn't that something? God shared that secret with Abraham. Chapter 19, verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Guess who he was? The greeter. The greeter. That's one of the greatest ministries we have in our church now. I love the greeter ministry. We got some people with big smiles, handing out the flyers, smiling, welcoming. That's what Lot was doing. Now he had separated. There had been strife. There was selfishness, sinfulness. Now, welcome to Sodom. You'll love our town. He's the greeter. Something he should have hated, now he's enjoying it. How come? Old experiment, they say, I've never done this, please kids don't listen. They say if you take a pot of cool water and put a frog in it, it will just swim around. But if you light that fire, turn on the burner slowly, and slowly increase the heat, he will feel so comfortable, he will boil alive. Say, does that work? Well, I've tried it on 20 frogs and it worked on all of them. But I don't know if it does, but I've heard the story. You jump into sin, at first, it's a shock. I would never do that. We've said it, haven't we? I would never, ever, ever do what that person did. Now, guess what? If you're not careful, now you're doing it too. What you once condemned, now you're doing. Now you're promoting it. I never miss a church. Pastor, count on me. I'll always be here. I'll tithe. I'll serve till Jesus comes. Where are you? Come out, come out. Wherever you are, where are you? People are out of church. They're doing things they never should have done. Their hearts are cold. They hadn't won a soul passed out of track in 100 years. What's happened? They slowly got used to that cold water and Satan has turned it up and now it's all okay. And they're boiling alive. So we see a little bit further here. I said, Pastor, what'd you have for supper? Hot cornflakes. Yeah, yeah. Verse 4. And before they lay down, these two angels come into town. Verse 4. The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, wonder what they're like. Sodomites, compassed the house round about. They surrounded the house. Old and young. Why young? They cannot reproduce, so they must recruit. Well, does it really matter if an adult has a sexual preference? I mean, they're not hurting anybody. Oh, yeah, they are hurting somebody. They're recruiting. You counsel the people I've counseled who as a child, that took place when they were a young child oftentimes. Well, it's just their preference. I think we need to, at age 8, put them in public school and teach them all these, they can have surgery at this time, they can have these hormone treatments at this time. And we'll cover that some other time. Amen. Old and young, all the people from every corner, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, verse 5, where are the men which came in this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. And that phrase means know them sexually. Bring those guys out. We want to know them in a filthy, carnal, wicked way. Notice what Lot says. And Lot went out at the door unto them, shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, verse 7, brethren. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. Hey, brother. He's calling the Sodomites brother. You know, we sing that song. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. We don't say that to everybody. Because they're not our brother and our sister. We're brothers and sisters because we have the same heavenly Father. We're not going to go into the whole story here. But the Bible says in 2 Peter and Lot, both seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul day by day. How did this change him? He started watching it. He started hearing it. Let me ask you a question. Do the cuss words on television bother you anymore? Well, it's not the one that starts with this letter. Okay. So let's just say the ones that don't start with that letter. Well, I mean, they're not totally naked. I know they're getting it, but they're not. But it doesn't show everything. No, see, we've just got used to it. We've got used to the cussing. We've got used to the nudity. We've got used to the rock music. We've got used to the beer commercials. We've got used to God's name taken in vain. We've just gotten used to a lot of things. And God still hasn't got used to it. Well, it's okay with us today. What's not okay with him? The bottom's fallen out of the television and the movies and the music industries and the government. No wonder God's just lifting his hand of protection. Hey, China, you're upset. Russia, you're upset. North Korea, they said and they lied. 800,000 military joined this week in one day if they could fight America. And I'm sure they're lying on that, but that's what they're saying. What is going on? God's saying, hey, I'm fed up with America on this. I'm fed up with this sin. They had a decadence parade in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. Decadence means anything goes. No withdrawing, no holding back. Guess when that parade was? The night before Katrina hit. Hurricane Katrina. The day after the decadence parade. America can only hold our fist in God's face so much and say, we don't care you founded us. We don't care your name's on our currency. We don't care about the pledge anymore. We don't care about that stuff. All we care about is us and how we feel, and we don't even believe in you anymore. God said, oh yeah? Oh yeah? I've been pretty patient. Let me just remove a little protection and just see. Hurricane Katrina hit. Guess what they had? A day of prayer. A day of prayer. I was talking to our mailman the other day. He said, I'm an atheist. Now, I might come No Excuse Sunday. He said, because you need a fool, right? I said, I need a fool. He said, well, I'll show up. He said, Pastor, we need to pray for America. You know what's going on? I said, pray for America. I thought you're an atheist. Who do we pray to? You want me to pray? Why would I tell our people to pray to someone that doesn't exist? He says, you know. Here's what I want to point out just real quick. So here's Lot. I'll finish the story and I'll give you three conclusions. So here's Lot. He says, you know, brothers, he said, please don't bother these angels. I have two daughters that are not married if you want them. I think when he said that, I'd let a hot thunderbolt just come right on top of Lot's head. The guy's mind was out of control. The angels look at Lot, and here's what they said. They said, let me fast speed forward. Two of the daughters do escape with their dad. They've only got time. They've got seconds to grab something. You remember when the fire was getting ready to burn us all up? You remember that? You had your trunks filled with marriage license, photos, baby pictures, dog food, you know, all the important things. I had all my animals on a U-Haul truck. Keith Gomez called. He says, his whole family's burning up, but he saved the animals. Well, someone called and said, you need a favor? I said, yeah, come rescue my animals. You remember what you were packing? You only had a trunk to pack. Lot's daughters, they only had a second to grab something. Guess what they grabbed? You ready? A bottle of wine to get their daddy drunk with. A bottle of wine. Where'd they learn that? You can take the kid out of Sodom, but you can't take Sodom out of the kid. Once they've tasted it. So here's the mercy of the Lord. Paul, you can turn the lights on, and I'm just done with this. We don't have time to, well, we do. Let's just look at this. Verse 16, I believe it is. Here it is. And here's God, just the hero. I don't want to end on just Lot, how wicked he was. Up in heaven. Who does not want to live next to Lot if he made it to heaven? Slip your hand up. I mean, you just don't want him in your neighborhood. I don't either. I don't want him anywhere near me. But notice, Genesis 19, 16. He tries to get his son-in-law. By the way, his two daughters married two of those guys in Sodom. Here's the thought. Your kids marry, and this is going to shock you, somebody they know. So you better be careful who they meet, who they go to school with, and what college they go to. They're going to marry someone they meet, and they're going to be the parents of your grandkids. So his two daughters, the son-in-laws laugh. He says, let's get out. God's going to destroy it. And they started laughing. They said, we hadn't heard you talk about God. What do you mean, God? But notice what happens here. Genesis 19 and verse 16. And the angels say, we're about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Here's Lot with his wife and two of his girls. 16. And while he lingered, you remember those little Nixles. We were getting on our phones. The fire. Fire is 5 miles away. Fire. Be careful. Load your car up. Be ready for the morning. I mean, we were on pins and needles. At least I was. I was hosing the house down, car backed into the driveway, Nick souls it, it's closer, now it's over here, now it's burned up paradise, now it's here. Lot lingered. The angel said, we're going to burn this place up, let's get out of here. Well, maybe he was looking at all he had. Look at God's mercy though, look at this. While he lingered, the men, the angels, laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. Here's the key. The Lord being merciful unto him. God is merciful. Give me about 3 minutes. Four facts about God's mercy. Number one, mercy means withholding judgment we deserve. I remember last time a police officer pulled me over. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was speeding, and I didn't have a driver's. Well, I didn't have my seatbelt on, but I had a reason. I was kind of under stress, and so he pulled me over, and I shouldn't have done it. You're supposed to sit in the car, roll your window down. I jumped out of the car. I held my hands up. Don't shoot! I'm the pastor. We thought 50 people were going to camp. Now we got 99 going to camp. I know I didn't have my seatbelt on, and I know I was speeding. And the officer just kind of looked like, man, you need to go to Napa State or something. You know what I asked for? Mercy. Man, don't give me a ticket. Come on, man. To quote our president, come on, man. That's the most famous quote he said. It's going to go down in history. Come on, man. God showed mercy on Lot when his uncle rescued him from Sodom and Gomorrah the first time. God ever give you a second chance? He ever rescue you out of a sticky situation and you said, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this, I'll serve you. Did you? Did you? I wonder who's on their third chance and fourth and fifth. I'm probably on my 12th. 1200th. Boy, God is merciful, isn't he? He is so merciful. He doesn't just say, that's it. That's your last chance. God doesn't do that. He was merciful when he got rescued. Second, he was merciful when he grabbed him by the hand and said, you don't have enough sense to get out. I'm dragging you out. That's God's mercy. You know what that's a symbol of? It's a symbol of the rapture. Before it's all going to break loose, God's going to, hey, give me your hand. The trumpet's going to sound. We're out of here. That's God's mercy. I know some TV preachers say we're going halfway through the tribulation and the Antichrist. We'll get the mark of the beast. No, we're out of here before that happens. Now, it may be some stuff go on, but we're out of here before that Antichrist takes over. And then third, we pray asking for mercy. God bids us, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Find mercy in the time of need. When you pray, you ought to say, Lord, I don't deserve this, but would you help me? I don't even deserve you listening to me. I'm asking for mercy. Would you help me? And then last, when you get right with the Lord, you want to ask for mercy. David in Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. So here it is. When the city blows up, guess what? Abraham is still walking with God, receiving the blessings of God. There's going to be some people blow up that you know. There's going to be some people mess up that you know. The good thing, if they're saved up in heaven, all is going to be wiped away. God's merciful. Focus on the Lord, not on Sodom, not on people. You'll be glad that you did. Well, there's some road signs you need to be heeding. Strife, separation, selfishness, sinfulness.
Let's do business with the Lord tonight if he's spoken to you. Father, bless now this invitation.